Welcome to the Grace Point Church Podcast. This is a podcast where you'll hear audio content from Grace Point Church, located at 319 West Georgia Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina.
In this episode, Pastor Ben continues his series, Faith Journey, Encouragement from Joshua. This is part 7. Let's listen in.
Faith Journey, Encouragement from Joshua. Guess what? This is the last message in this series. All right? So, James, FYI, this is the final one, okay? It is actually sermon number 7, so that's fitting, right, in this series. Encouragement from Joshua. We've been looking at Joshua and learning, I hope, I know I have, about a life of faithfulness, a life of moving according to God's direction and following His plan. And we've seen Joshua's been an incredible leader as he's led the people of God. And how did it start? Well, it began with the with getting there. He had to get across the river. In other words, he had to take the mantle from Moses and press on and move. And we saw how God encouraged him to do that, and he was faithful in the process. And then they had to overcome obstacles. Remember, the walls of Jericho were ominous, right? The walls of Jericho looked insurmountable, but God gave direction, and Joshua led the people to follow God's instruction to the letter, and God delivered, and delivered the city into their hands. Remember, it talked about how the walls fell down, and then the people did what? They didn't climb into the city. They walked into the city. It struck me that God not only removed the obstacle, but He obliterated the obstacle, and they were able to easily go into the city and claim it at that point. It was incredible to think about. He overcame the obstacles, and then they had to face failure. Why? Because the people got a little sure of themselves, a little cocky, if you will, and they took matters into their own hands, and then they suffered a great defeat, right? And hopefully they learned a lesson in the process. And I believe that Joshua did. And Joshua said, we are going to honor, and we're going to follow the Lord, and we're going to continue to serve Him. And God did something gracious. He gave them an opportunity to begin again. How many times in your life and in my life have we found ourselves at a place where we've made mistakes? Anybody ever made a mistake? Okay, I saw once. I heard that. He's like, I thought I made a mistake, but then I realized I made a mistake. Maybe you get in a minute, but anyway. But the point is this, that every time we do, God is still the God of another chance, right? Can anybody say grace? And we have the opportunity and the option then to move forward and to begin again. And so the people of Israel did that, and God led them in that process, and Joshua was their leader. And then we saw where they were fooled a little bit, right? They were deceived by the Gibeonites, and they came and they did what? They lied, and they said they were from a far land. They even like dressed like they had been traveling a long time. They used old wineskins. Remember the whole process? That they were deceiving them. And then once again, the people got a little careless, and they didn't follow what God had said exactly, and they made a covenant with these people. But then we saw also there was grace in that deception, because the people were afraid. They knew that God was going to deliver them into the hands of Joshua, right? They knew it was coming, and so they tried to hedge their bets, if you will. But then Joshua did something incredible. What did he do? He said, don't harm them, even though they deceived us. Why? Because we have given an oath. We made a covenant with them, and we are going to honor that before the Lord. Folks, listen, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God blessed in that circumstance as well. And in that we see the grace of God. Even in the midst of tough things, even in the midst of error and mistake, God says He brings beauty from ashes, right? And I know in my own life, and I know you can think of it in your lives, where things have not gone so well, maybe we've made a mistake or two. But even in the trial and even through the circumstance, God is still merciful and He's still gracious, and He brings, and He'll bring beauty from ashes if we turn it over to Him. And then we saw last week that God gave them the ability to conquer the mountains in their lives. They were able to take the land. They were able to claim that which was given. And Caleb, we saw, came in, and Caleb was faithful from the beginning. Remember, he was one of the spies that said, no, we can take the land. And the other said, no, we're grasshoppers. They'll kill us. And then they wandered for 40 years, right? But Caleb was one who was faithful. But even in all that time and through all that time, he remembered that God had made a promise. The promise was made to him. And he did not sit back and did not say, well, I'm old, it won't matter now. What did he do? He believed and he knew and he trusted God and he took the mountain that God had promised. That brings us then to the final message, if you will. So go all the way to the end of the book. I'm going to skip a whole bunch of stuff coming in the process. But I want us to look at this. Faithful service. We get to the end of the book, if you will. The end of the saga. The end of Joshua's life. His journey of faith. And we find ourselves at a place of covenant, a place of renewal, a place of promise. And I think that the theme that comes from this is the reality that Joshua lived a life of faithful service. You know, think about that. Whom do we serve? It ought to be an easy question, right? It ought to be a pretty simple answer. Whom do we serve? Well, we would say we serve the Lord, right? But then we stop and think about that. Do we really? Do we really serve Him? And if so, how are we serving Him? You know, I come across a lot of people in over the years, and having done that, I've known a lot of folks, and I'm not naming any names, I'm talking about prior to here, right? But I've known a lot of folks who said, I serve the Lord, but in reality, they're really looking for the Lord to serve them, right? I know an awful lot of people that all they care about is what's in it for me, what's best for me. I don't believe Joshua was that way. I believe Joshua was faithful, and his service was to the Lord, and that's the direction we're going to see today. Think of the ways that you can serve the Lord. If you will, just go to verse number 14 to start with. And here's what we find in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. I think about it from this perspective. Serving God is not optional. Are you a child of the King? Then you are called not only to experience the joy of heaven, but you are called to serve in the kingdom of God. And every single one of us has a place and a purpose and an area that God has provided for us to serve and to serve in the kingdom's work. So as we look at this faithful service, let's find out several things. First of all, I want us to notice that they were delivered to serve. Verses 1 through 8. If you look at those verses, you find an interesting saga. Let's read them together. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill of country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt, and I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it. And afterward, I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Delivered to serve. Notice verse 5, and I sent Moses and Aaron and plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it. And afterward, I brought you out. I think about that term, I brought you out. Over and over and over again, we see in the lives of the people of Israel where God delivered them. Even when they made mistakes, God would deliver them. Even when they found themselves in hard places, God would deliver them. And I thought about it from this perspective. How many times in your life and in my life has God been faithful to deliver us?
Countless.
Countless, right? Over and over and over again, we see where God is always faithful. And the fact that he's faithful, he has delivered us. And I believe, Amber, that we need to understand and remember that no matter what, you're young, you've got a long life ahead of you. But know this and trust this and be faithful to this. If God is for you, no one can be against you. Stand strong for who he is. Stand strong for who you are in him. And trust in the reality that God will deliver you. You know, I think about that, and it reminds me of all the times where God has come through in my own life. Think about the circumstances in your own life. How many times have you been in a place of despair? Anyone? How many times have you been in a place where you felt like it was just not going to work out? Right? When it seemed like there was nowhere to go, nowhere to turn, it is not going to be good this time. And then look back and recognize and realize that God was with you every step of the way. Yeah, I don't know if I want to get picked up by my bootstraps or not, but, you know, he does lift us up, right? He holds us, and he keeps us in his hand. Think about recently in your own lives. How many of you faced adversity? Right? Everybody. And yet God is faithful. But what is it about Joshua that gives us an indication of what we ought to do? When things got tough, Joshua said, wah, wah, wah. Right? No, I don't know if that's real good Greek or not, but when things got hard, did Joshua give up? When things got tough, did he waver? He stayed faithful. Folks, this whole series has been about our faithfulness before him. You know why we can be faithful? Because he first is faithful. Right? Even when we don't act like it, even when we don't feel like it, even when we don't stay strong, and even when we falter, God remains faithful. So we need to make that decision, and we need to say, understand and remember that we have been delivered, but we've not just been delivered to sit idly by. We've been delivered to serve. So look to the heavens and look to the sky and look to the Lord and find in his word your place in this thing called kingdom service. So we're delivered to serve. But then secondly, we're defended to serve. Verses 9 through 13, let's read those together. And it says, then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. In other words, he came to curse you, but I fixed it. And he had to bless you instead. So I delivered you out of his hand. and you went over to the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the leaders of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I gave them into your hand, and I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities where you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Delivered to serve, defended to serve. God protected them. He didn't just say, okay, here's the land, now see ya in eternity. No, he was there with them. He gave them the land, but then he said, I will defend you in it, and I will defend it for you. And over and over and over again, look at all those Hittites. Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Parasites, Termites, all those ites. And God did what? Bunch of ites. God protected them from them all. How many ites are there in your life? How many times do you find yourself with just... I'm reminded of something that... okay, I've just lost my brain. That's easy to do, y'all. It's easy to lose small things, right? Oh, gosh, the great missionary to Africa. No, before that. Help! Livingston, thank you. David Livingston. Woo! There he is. He was asked one time when someone came over on a ship and asked him about the things in his service in Africa. And the reporter asked him this, Mr. Livingston, what's the hardest part about your service in Africa? The lions or the tigers or the snakes? What's the hardest part? And he said, oh, no, none of those. It's the mosquitoes and the gnats is the hardest part. Do you ever feel like that the gnats of life just want to get at you? You know, you swat and swat and swat. I remember as a kid, we grew up in the tropics, but every 4 years, we'd basically come back here, and I'd go visit my mom's mom in Blackville, South Carolina. Everywhere you turn down in that part of this state is sand. And I'll never forget being out in the yard playing, and there was this thing called sand gnats. And I don't care how fast you move your hands, I don't care how much you swat, you will not deter sand gnats from getting in your nose and your mouth and everywhere else. Right? The gnats of life. Livingston said, I don't care about the big tough things. I can gear up for those. It's the little things. It's the nagging things. And folks, listen, God understands and knows that the nagging things in our lives will tear us down and wear us down. But guess what? We are always defended. What does the Lord say? But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you, so I delivered you out of his hand. Understand this. God has delivered, and he will continue to deliver you. He is always there for you. You say, what are you talking about? Well, consider this. The psalmist says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Child of God, understand and recognize this. When you belong to him, you are his, and he will see you through. Amen? You can't escape him. He is there. His hand will deliver you. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Sometimes in the heat of the summer, which we've certainly experienced of late, isn't it dramatic the difference when you get out of the sun and into the shade? The temperature's still the same, but boy, it sure feels a whole lot cooler, doesn't it? Why? Because the shade protects you from the beating down of the sun. Listen, God is your shade. When life is hard, when things are tough, never give up. And recognize and understand that He is your keeper and He is your shade. Delivered to service. Delivered to serve. We're defended to serve. God will defend us. But then I want you to notice it comes to something else. Not only are we delivered to serve and defended to serve, but then there's a choice. There is a consistency that we need to bring to the table, and we need to be determined to serve as well. Look at verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and faithfulness. We talked about this from the very beginning. It is the command to serve. In other words, be faithful to the Lord. It's not really optional if we want to experience the best that God has in our lives. We must serve Him. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. He says, listen, as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. How many of you have that in your house written somewhere? Yeah, it's very common, right? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you see what's happening here? There is a determination, and Joshua is reminding the people that it is not by chance that we become faithful. It is by choice that we are faithful. And he says, listen, I am going to serve the Lord. Every single one of you can go off and do your own thing. That's fine. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a determination there. And consider this with me, if you will. God expects us to make a choice. I'm reminded of what the scripture says about being spewed out of your mouth in Revelation, where it's lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold. Listen, God says, pick a side. Choose whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Folks, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is always the right choice. There will never come a time when you will choose to serve the Lord that it's going to be the wrong choice. He's always there, and He'll always be there. Think with me about, look at this verse, Ephesians 4:14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Listen, there is a choice to make, and I am determined that I will serve the Lord. And there's a choice that we all need to make and be determined in order to do that. We need to endure the hardships that life brings. We need to endure the gnats, swallow them if you have to, but always choose to remain faithful and to serve Him. But I love the fact that Joshua brings this to them. And he says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And then what do the people say? Oh, yeah, why would we ever not serve the Lord? We're going to do the same thing, right? Isn't that what he says? But so Joshua just left it at that, didn't he? No, let's look further. Look at verse 18. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. Verse 19. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. Whoa, whoa, time out. What do you mean? He says, you are not able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. Okay, well, that's encouraging. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it. Right? Well, that sounds so awesome. Thank you. Woo! We'll serve the Lord. What is Joshua doing? He's reminding the people that there is consequence to their covenant. There's consequence to their determination. There's consequence to their choice. You know, I'm reminded of what is very popular in today's modern Christendom, and that's easy believism. Right? Oh, you've tried everything else, now try Jesus. That's not how it works. Right? It takes commitment and faithfulness. So Joshua reminds him, hey, wait a minute, there's stuff you've got to think about. Remember, we're not talking about the age of grace here. So he's going, look, you don't say this and then go back on it. But then the people said to Joshua, verse 21, no, but we will serve the Lord. In other words, he said, are you sure this is what could happen? And they said, yeah, we're sure. Right? Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Yep, we got it. We're willing. And he said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. I love that. He says, are you sure? Yep. Are you really sure? Yep. Are you sure that you're sure that you're sure? Yep, 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 yep. And then he said, okay, then put these things away. In other words, he said, no more sitting on the fence. No more playing in the yard. No more pretending. You will choose this day whom you serve. Boy, I can imagine there were probably some people that are going, whoop-hoo-hoo. I probably need to go clean out the closet. Right? Maybe I shouldn't really depend. How many times in your own life have you said, Lord, I give you everything. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus. I surrender all. Except not this or that or this or that. Lord, you can have everything, but don't make me expose that. Lord, you can have everything, but don't make me stop that. Lord, you can have everything, but this is mine. Right? Joshua says, mm-mm. It's not faithful service without being full service. Right? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So then what he goes on and he says, okay, put away the foreign gods and all that among you, incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve. We will serve. And his voice we will obey. Wow. So what happened? So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. Folks, listen. We have been delivered. We have been saved by grace. Have you? If you trusted Jesus as your own Lord and Savior, have you surrendered your life to Him? Have you understood that there is no hope apart from Christ? If you have, then you have been delivered. But you've been delivered to serve. Not delivered to selfishness. Not delivered to easy, good time, although joy is there. Amen? You've been delivered to serve the Lord. And you're defended to serve. Guess what? You cannot escape the protection of the Lord. He is there with you. He is there for you. How many times in your life can you look back and realize, even though you didn't know it at the time, God was there and intervening on your behalf time and time again? So recognize your deliverance, recognize your defense, but then determine, okay, now I will serve the Lord. Be determined to serve. Delivered, defended, determined. And then somebody say hallelujah, fourth and finally. What? Dedicated for service. I love the ribbon that God puts on the book of Joshua here. He ties it up and he presents the end of the story, if you will, for as far as Joshua is concerned. Look at verse number 29. After these things, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. I would say, Lord, please no. I do not want to live that long. But after these things, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. After what things? After all that had transpired. After all that he had done, after all that he had been through, after all that he had, all the ways he had served and all the ways he had led the people, after all the things that had happened, even after the crossing of the river into claiming the land that God has promised, after all those things, and then finally, after they had determined and established beyond a shadow of a doubt, we will serve God and none other. After those things, the servant of the Lord died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in his own inheritance at Timnath-serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gash. And then notice this, the dedication. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, and had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. What greater testimony, what greater dedication to a life of service than the fact that the people remained faithful all the days of his life? And oh, by the way, those that were left behind that were in the influence and directly in the influence of his ministry, of his life, they remained faithful as well. He was dedicated. And God gave a dedication of his service. And then verse 32, and as for the bones of Joseph, which the Lord of Israel brought up from Egypt, they buried them at Shechem in the piece of land that Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. It became an inheritance of the descendants of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. And they buried him at Gibeah, the town of Phinehas, his son, which had been given him in the hill country of Ephraim. Joshua, what a life, what a legacy, what a story of faithfulness, no matter what. Folks, I pray that we have learned and we have seen through this brief synopsis of this incredible book of the Bible that God is always faithful and God will always honor faithfulness. And it comes a point in time when we reach the end of this book where I believe the incredible clarion call is that for this day, you and I need to choose whom we will serve. Are we for him or are we not? Will we serve him or will we not? You see, faithful service is honored service. Faithful service is the only appropriate service. Will you this day serve the Lord? You alone can answer the question.
You have been listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To find out more information about Grace Point Church, go to our website at www.gracepointsc.org. You can also connect with us on social media through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. To listen to more sermons by Pastor Ben Hill, can subscribe to this podcast. Go to the media page on our website, or you can watch our service live on our Facebook page. Thank you for listening.